Radio Chaser is brought to you by Bin Chickens. They're dumpster licking good.
2019. You really should cut the booze, lose 50 kilos, and fulfill your lifelong dream of becoming a YouTube star by taking up extreme parkour. That's why you're here. This isn't a radio show. It's a spiritual journey to help you live your best life. It can't help you achieve any of your goals, but it will make you much, much, much better at sex. Welcome to Radio Chaser.
Yes, welcome to the show. Andrew Hansen's here. Charles Firth is here. My name is Dom Knight. Coming up, what the hell happened to King's Cross? It's been ruined by wankers who've moved into apartments. And what if you went to Singapore and couldn't even remember how you'd paid to get there? That's what Senator Matthias Cormann's claiming today. But first, milk, Andrew Hansen. Milk.
Oh, milk, Tommy. No, milk. Milk's, it's expensive. Milk lovers, bad news. Bad news for all milk lovers of Australia. The prices have gone up. Woolworths have said they're no longer going to be selling milk for 3 cents a bucket or whatever it was. they're going to jack the price way up, and you're going to have to pay something even close to what the suffering of the original cows is worth. But if you think that that's bad, oh boy, spare a thought for the poor, trendy people in inner city cafes. Listen to their plight.
In the last decade, extreme droughts have ravaged the earth. An estimated 8 million Ethiopians are at risk of starvation. In Australia, farmers face ruin from the driest period in living memory. And the worst affected area of that parched nation is this cafe in King's Cross.
It's my first visit, and I've just discovered the coffee menu only offers 8 types of milk. It's a milk drought.
The digestive systems of these young urban professionals are not designed to process fewer than 12 milk types per day.
Look, they only offer full cream, lactose-free, low-fat, soy, macadamia, almond, oat and coconut milk. Where is the rice milk? Where is the rice milk, I ask you?
The landscape in this cafe is strewn with the dead carcasses of millennials who require rice, hemp or pea milk.
They don't even offer them. I resorted to this coconut turmeric latte and my insides are collapsing.
Our only consolation is that the hipster menu is written with an ironic sense of humour.
This overworked barista is struggling to meet demand.
My inner city customers are so thirsty for different milks, I've resorted to milking my enormous moustache.
Flat white with mo milk for Lauren.
I've changed my mind. Do you offer spinal cord milk?
Oh, crap.
Yet amidst the chaos and despair, there is one small ray of hope.
They've also run out of kombucha. So that's good.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser with you. Now, Andrew, we're talking about milk there at the start of the show. The cafe here downstairs has that new fancy almond milk that we like. You know, the Milk Lab stuff?
I love that. I love that almond milk. Is that Milk Lab you're talking about?
Milk Lab's it's so tasty. It's creamy. Really,
yeah,
so much better than normal milk.
It's so satisfying, isn't it? I love almond milk.
Delicious.
Pure Harvest does a good one too. Have you tried the Pure Harvest milk?
I think anyone who drinks almond milk is the biggest wanker to ever walk this earth. Guys.
How good is almond milk though, Andrew?
I'm sorry. There are three life rules that you should adhere to. Never pay for stationery. Never pay for sex. And never order almond milk in your coffee. They are the three rules.
Well, why do you so frequently break the second one? I mean, I get stomach aches.
Because almond milk is a signal, right? Like, almond milk. It's a signal of the type of person that you are as a human being.
It's a signal that you would like milk made from almonds.
Once you have ordered almond milk once in your life, then you are never not the person who ordered almond milk. You can never say, oh, I've never ordered an almond latte.
Charles,
you are, therefore, thereafter, always a wanker.
I would take this from someone who didn't admit recently on another radio program we did a few months ago that you used a $150 spray from Tony and Guy on your thinning hair. You should be drinking almond milk. Come on board.
It might make your hair grow back.
That's a mark of testosterone coursing through my veins, causing all my hair to fall out because I'm such a tough man.
Well, you know what my testosterone does to me? It gives me stomach aches when I drink dairy milk because I'm so manly. Like, my stomach hurts like crazy when I drink that stuff.
Stop drinking coffee then, you wanker.
No, like, coffee, but what about ice cream? What about
the poor almonds?
I found I can drink A2 milk, right? So it's, but it's not as tasty as almond milk. Almond milk is better. You haven't tried. Have you tried it?
1-3-3-5-3 Dom and Andrew wankers.
Have you ever tried almond milk?
1-3-3-5-3
He's dodging the question. He's never tried it.
Of course I've never tried it. I'm not a wanker.
But it's delicious. It tastes better than real milk. I would, even without the stomach aches, I'd go the almond milk anyway. It's got a nutty smoothness. It's beautiful.
1-3-3-5-3 Ring and tell Charles what an ignorant fool he is. It's Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Wanker.
Talking about injecting almond milk into a coffee for a fantastic flavour. Charles Firth, mistakenly, having never even tried it, thinks it's for wankers.
Yes, because it is for wankers. And I think you'll find that the fact that we've melted down the switchboard with phone calls, I'm sure they're all going to say, you're a wanker, Dom.
1-3-3-5-3 is the number. Will Charles join the revolution? Andrew Hanson and I are both on board. Mark in Ingleburn, almond milk, yes or no?
No.
Why?
No, because it's tastes like sandpaper or cardboard. Or when you go to the beach and you get the sand in your mouth, get gritty. It's terrible.
Australian cricketers should drink it on the field.
I had a glass of milk just to swallow it down. I thought, what's going on here? My daughter must have bought it for health things, but I mean, it tastes terrible.
Yeah, you got grit. What about, have you thought of straining it through a cheesecloth before drinking?
You'd have to add extra stuff to it. Maybe put it in the blender with some strawberries or something, maybe. But it still would taste shit.
All right, we've got a Claire in Engadine. Okay. That's one no. Claire, almond milk, yes or no? What do you think?
Yes, definitely.
Hey!
What? I don't know whether guys would like it, though, but...
We do.
We love it. I had it in a lavender latte at a cafe once.
Perfect. Lavender latte.
Oh, well, that's not wanky at all.
No, that's very blokey.
It's really nice.
That's a bloke's drink. We tend to sink a stubby of VB followed by a lavender latte.
Aren't they sponsoring Origin this year, lavender latte?
Pretty sure that's what...
maybe.
All right, there you go. That's a yes. Steve from Spring Farm, talk to me about almond milk.
Mate, absolutely not, mate. Moo moo booby juice all the way, buddy.
Right, that's a good way to put it. I shouldn't have that brand. What's your problem with almond milk, though?
Mate, it is environmentally horrific. It takes so much water to produce it, and it's growing and growing, so it's an unsustainable supply chain, mate. All these hemp-wearing hipsters are undoing what they're actually trying to achieve through ignorance, and it's quite laughable.
Yeah, you idiots.
But aren't cows terrible for the environment as well, with the cloven, like stuffing up the pasture and all that?
Mate, no. Mate, sustainable farming is so good these days, mate. You can produce so much out of intensive dairy farming. It's just crazy, mate. I'm a Kiwi, so I know a lot about farming, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, mate, just do some research on it and it'll solve all your mysteries.
If it's destroying New Zealand's environment, then maybe I'm in favour of almond milk.
Yeah, I don't know enough to disagree with Steve. Let's go to
beautiful place.
Carol from Canterbury here. Carol, almond milk, what do you think?
Hey, guys, nah. It's a double wanker. No way. There's only two types of milk. Milk, full cream, low cream. That's it. End of story. What are we coming to? What's the world coming to? Almond milk, soya milk, this milk, that milk.
It's coming to delicious new types of milk. That's what it's coming to, I'd say.
Bloody crap. It's friggin' crap.
Wait, have you tried one?
No, I don't intend to.
Yeah, because she's not a wanker.
I'm not a wanker. I don't need to try almond milk to become in the almond milk club or to sit in the eastern suburbs drinking my soya low-cal this friggin' latte bullshit.
And guys, if cow's milk gives you a stomach ache, just put beer in your coffee instead.
Well, there's a firm opinion right there. I mean, what about...
Charles, are you going to drink almond milk live on air?
If you bring some along, I will drink it down and then vomit it up like Aussie.
The almond milk challenge. I'm going to do a blind taste test challenge with you tomorrow, Charles. I'm going to bring in a full cream milk and an almond milk. See if you can tell the difference between the two. Because I bet you can't.
We'll make him drink his words tomorrow on Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Bin Chickens. They're like Darrows, but birds.
And it's great to have the Bin Chickens on board. They're very discerning with their radio sponsorship. You wouldn't think that from their bin habits.
They loved that strap line, though. They thought, if we can associate ourselves with Darrows.
Yeah, the lovable larrikins you find in parks. Yeah, boost their reputation. Look, speaking of decrepit things, let's talk about King's Cross, because Look, I didn't think that they could ruin the cross any more than they have. Well, you know, 10 years ago, it was absolutely bustling. The streets were full of people. Mm. Admittedly, most of them were drunk and pretty toey, but it was full of people. It was a really fun place to go out. Mm. And in the intervening years, it's been absolutely destroyed, right? The lockout laws came in. It's got an expensive. It's pretty much dead. Mm. But now the final straw has come out. They've built this disgusting huge skyscraper next door to the King's Cross Hotel called Omnia, with $12 million penthouses on top. People have moved next to several famous pubs. King's Cross Hotel's been trading for more than 100 years. Mm. The bloody residents have complained, and now they've had to shut down the rooftop bar of the King's Cross Hotel. What's left to do? What kind of idiot moves to King's Cross and goes, oh, it's a bit noisy, I'm going to call the council and complain?
Yeah, there's a special place in hell reserved for people who move in next to pubs and then complain about the noise.
Yeah.
I think that is a separate category of evil.
Is that even worse than drinking almond milk?
No, it's on par, though.
You know, you say that, but what's wrong with, you know, improving your neighbourhood? I mean, when you move somewhere, for instance, and well, let's say the local park is a bit drab and a bit crap, and you might say, well, I want to let's plant some more trees, let's fix it up. You know, you move in and the pub's a bit noisy, but you might say, well, I want to make this a nicer place to live, so...
But it's King's Cross. They've moved onto Darlinghurst Road, the strip in King's Cross. And it's like, oh, we love the atmosphere. It's so gritty. The history is amazing. But can the history and the atmosphere just stop at 11 p.m, please? Because I want to sleep. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, you can put the pub somewhere else. What about Pennant Hills, for instance? I moved into Pennant Hills, and I had the opposite problem. I was actually asking the neighbours if they would please wake up and make some noise to give the place some sort of feeling that somebody was alive.
Just proof of life.
The strip club bouncers should be sent to Pennant Hills. Do you want to see a lady? Do you want to see anything? But no, it's not just there. In Newtown, the Marley, we all drank there when we were younger. That's being targeted as well.
Oh, really?
The Royal Oak Hotel in Double Bay. I didn't even know there were pubs in Double Bay. But no, apparently there is one. That's being targeted as well. Anywhere where there's a sign of life in Sydney, it's being shut down. The neighbours are coming in, the apartments are coming in, it's being ruined.
Yeah, well, I think there's an obvious solution, which is I think Michael Daly, who's the opposition leader here in New South Wales, needs to run on a criminal sanctions for neighbours who try and shut down noisy pubs. I think that's the only solution.
He'll
just sweep to power then.
Right. What sort of sentence would you recommend to these people, Charles?
Well, I think, what would you do? Well, you'd put them in a really noisy place, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think they have to move out of their apartment and onto the rooftop of the pub.
Right. That's right, exactly.
In a Supermax prison on the rooftop of King's Cross Hotel.
Problem solved.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Bin Chickens. Why not roast one for Christmas lunch instead of a turkey? Because they're bloody disgusting. That's why.
Yeah, great to have Bin Chickens on board. The thing about a Bin Chicken, Charles, is that they want to get something for free. They're scrabbling through the bins looking for a freebie. And in Canberra, we've discovered Australian politics is our very own Bin Chicken.
Well, one person who got something for free was Matthias Cormann. Do you know Matthias Cormann?
Well, fortunately, not.
He's the finance minister. He's the guy who sounds a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. You know, he's got
but
a
much
Belgian
nerdier.
Accent. Yeah. Anyway, his job is finance minister, right? So his job is to remember to pay for things,
to notice
when things have been paid, when they haven't been paid. Yeah. All that. That's his job, right? Anyway, so it turns out he got this $2,700 holiday from a company which had just received a $21 million contract with his own department. So he got this holiday.
It was a serendipity or coincidence. What do they call that? A synchronicity.
Yeah.
You know, it's just luck.
It turns out he didn't pay for it, right? It turns out no money changed hands. And now, and everyone's rung up him now. They've found out that this has happened. And they've gone, what's your excuse? And he said, oh, sorry, I forgot.
Forgot a trip to Singapore.
I didn't notice it hadn't been paid for.
Well, you would. So he didn't notice that the trip was free.
Yeah, he didn't notice that this bribe-like trip...
was free of charge.
Yeah, defamatory. He said, like, well, why would the finance minister check his own credit card statements?
But so now everyone's saying he should just resign, like, get rid of the finance minister. But his defense, right, to keep being finance minister is that he's not very good at finance.
Well, that does actually make sense in the present situation. I mean, none of them are very good at what they do, are they?
So the position that Scott Morrison has taken is that, yes, I think we should definitely keep this guy on as finance minister because he's terrible at his finances. That is literally his position.
Should make him the ambassador to Singapore, shouldn't they?
Yes. Anyway, so it's an amazing deal, and it's such an amazing deal. He wants you to get in on the offer, and he set up his own travel agency.
Hey, honey, next holidays, let's go overseas.
No, Matthias, it's too expensive.
Overseas trips can be a drain on your bank account. Unless you use Korman World Travel.
Hello, world!
Check out these amazing deals. Trip to Singapore should cost $2,700. Now, completely free.
Wow, we won't forget a deal like that.
Oh, yes, we will.
To qualify, all you have to do is forget to pay for it.
Sorry, what do I have to do? I forgot.
Wow, darling. We're in Singapore.
Are we? I have no memory of how we came to be here.
So next time you're planning a trip, remember Korman World Travel. Then quickly forget about it.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M.
Trendy, trendy, trendy foods and ingredients.
Yeah, today on Trendy Foods, Dommy and Charles, I want to look at one of these legal action stories. You know how every so often somebody decides to sue one of the fast food giants for some crazy reason, you know, like they got nuggets spilt on them or something like that?
That coffee cup story of the woman going over the speed hump I always loved at Macca's.
Isn't that a great story? Yeah, well, there's a new one. Poor old Curtis Bruner is the guy's name, and he was in Hungry Jack's. Or as they call it in America, Burger King. He was in an American Burger King. And Curtis went into the loo and he got stuck in the cubicle. And he was trapped in this Burger King cubicle.
How? Was he perchance somewhat overweight?
You wonder how many whoppers he'd packed away before getting wedged in this cubicle. No, well, it wasn't his body that got stuck. It was just the door didn't open, apparently. Yeah. And he was stuck in there for over an hour. And the guy rang the staff. And so apparently, according to his lawsuit, these Burger King employees came in and they pushed on the door to try and open. They couldn't open it. Yeah. So they slid an implement underneath the door so that... And told him to use this to unlock the door. Can you guess what they slid underneath the door to get him to open this cubicle door?
So I'm assuming it wasn't a screwdriver or something like that. It was not.
I know what it is. It was a pickle. He used the not pickle, a bad very guess. Slippery. It would have made anything open up. No?
Not a bad guess. No, that's not what they said. It's a hard... Look, this is an unfair question because you never get the answer. Do you want another go, Charles?
Yeah, was it something a bit racy or something? Was it something offensive?
No, it was something that I think is odd to have had in a Burger King kitchen. It was a fly swatter.
A fly swatter?
I'm a little concerned that the Burger King kitchen had a fly swatter at all.
Well, that's a good question. Is it better to not need a fly swatter or to need one and have like... At least they were trying to stop the flies.
I guess if you couldn't spray in a Burger King kitchen,
you couldn't,
could you? It would go all over the, you know.
But how did they think a fly swatter would help him get out of the toilet?
I don't know. That's the genius of this story. Like, I love the fact that they thought, here we go. What was going through the, I know, we need to give him something to get out of the door. I know, here's a fly swatter.
Yeah, it kills flies, so why can't it kill doors?
Well, maybe if you had two fly swatters and you sort of wave them up and down hard enough, you'd sort of fly over the top. Of the cubicle, using them as some sort of wing.
Well, it didn't work, needless to say, and he cut himself trying to get out. Yeah. After an hour or so, or even more, a locksmith finally came and got the guy out. So anyway, the Burger King promised him a lifetime supply of Burger King to make up for this. Now, the interesting thing is this guy obviously thought that was a very good deal because he ate nonstop at Burger King every day for the following 2 weeks, and then they withdrew the offer for reasons unknown. Look, it could be related possibly to the fact that it came out that he was a convicted sex offender and maybe they thought it wasn't a good look for Burger King to give a man like that permanently. I don't know.
Particularly next time he went into prison for his misdeeds, they gave him a fly swatter to break out.
That's right. What amazes me is that the Burger King people were so bad at explaining to Curtis how to break out of the loo. I mean, here in Australia, Hungry Jack's employers have... always been very good at explaining how to do things. I mean, even back in 1971, they had some very good instructions on how to eat a Whopper.
It takes two hands to handle a Whopper. The two different burger at Hungry Jack's. You've got to put it.
to drink your shake, to munch your chip, to take a break. It takes two hands to handle a whopper, cause the burgers are bigger than Hungry Jack's.
Children singing It Takes Two Hands to Handle a Whopper. The 70s were a more innocent time, weren't they, Andrew?
They were.
Cat's pyjamas or cat's piss?
That ad was cat's pyjamas, Andrew. Well done. Now, some news stories here for you, Charles and Andrew. Cat's pyjamas means you love it. Cat's piss means you think it's a terrible idea. Queensland is considering being, I think, the first country in the world to have emoji as part of their number plates.
They got a choice of,
I think, 7 different emoji.
That'll be the worst thing if you know, say some criminal's driving away from the bank and they go, did you get out the number plate? Yes, it was happy emoji, happy emoji, sad emoji, confused emoji, 818. You know,
well, unless they have the emoji of a burglar, in which case it would be very handy. So the way it's going to work is I think you get 5 or 6 letters and numbers and then you have one emoji at the end.
You can have one emoji. What about your car insurance? I mean, this is going to make the form very difficult to fill out, isn't it? When you've got to draw the poo emoji and make sure it looks right.
Does it include the poo emoji?
It doesn't. But I'm a yes on this idea as long as every car in Queensland has to have a poo emoji on it. That seems appropriate.
Yes, cat's pyjamas to that.
All right. Now, very bad news from France. The first nude restaurant in Paris is closed due to lack of business. It's called Au Naturel. It opened in December 2017. The idea was you turned up, took your clothes off and had a feed.
I thought there was every restaurant in France. I thought, come on, France, what's happened to you? You've gone all conservative and wowserish on us.
Was it because people kept on finding pubic hairs in their soup? Like, what was the
a little bit of gratinée on the onion soup?
But you've got to expect a nude restaurant. Maybe the problem was there weren't pubic hairs in the soup, or there weren't enough pubic hairs.
I demand the pube in my soup.
Yes. I've come here specifically to dine among pubes. Where are they?
It sounds like you'd be on board, Hanso, if you had.
Absolutely. Well, I think cat's pyjamas to the original idea of a nude. I always eat in the nude. It's great for you know you've got an extra thing to stir your food with.
When you got the in-laws around.
Red card for that.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Bin Chickens. They're why no Australian ever stays at a Hotel Ibis.